Well, hello. How are you today? I hope that you're doing just fine and that you're constantly looking at the Word of God for guidance in your life. Well, you know, since I got saved many years ago, I've been leaning more and more on the Word of God, getting into it, studying it, getting to know God a little more each day. At least I hope so. But, you know, there are so many Bibles out there, so many different Bibles, I should say. You know, like the last count was around 400 or so, more or less. And each one is a little bit, at least, different than the Bible I use. Now, I use the King James 1611 Authorized Version, all right? And I pray you do too, because as far as I'm concerned, that is the true Word of God. And I take that from Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. For the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Oh, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. From this generation forever. Now, that's very important. Now, is that verse the same in all the Bibles, the all 400, say? Or is it different? Or is it missing? Or what? I mean, I haven't checked all 400 Bibles now, but I'm sure in some of the Bibles, if not all the others, it's a little bit different. Psalm 12, 6 and 7, find out for yourself. You know, there's always a lot of talk among Christians even when it comes to two particular questions. And two very particular questions. Is heaven real? Now, that's the title I've given my message today. Is heaven a real place? And the other question is the King James Bible really the Word of God? Well, allow me to answer the last question first, okay? Is the King James Bible really the Word of God? Well, if it isn't, well, I'm wasting my time right now. And what are we all doing here? Don't we use the King James Bible as Bible-believing Baptist fundamentalists? Now, you might say, well, I'm not a fundamentalist, but I'm a Baptist. Or you might say, I'm not a Baptist fundamentalist, but I'm a Christian. Well, I'm not saying you're not saved. No, I wouldn't say that. Who am I to judge you? I can only tell you what God's Word has to say, okay? You know, I hope that you don't even have one of those other Bibles in your house. Really? One of those, say, 399 left over? Oh, especially the New King James, which is the biggest verse of all. And I use the term liberally. Because the King James, the New King James, is as close as you get to the King James 1611. Now, they change things slightly, though. The wording is a little bit differently, and I'm not going to get into it. That's another message altogether. But there's only one authorized 1611 King James Bible. There's only one. And I pray that you're using that one. Because, you know, in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, in the new, not the new, the 1611 King James Bible, what we read is, for the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Wow. From this generation forever. I don't know, but people have said to me that they have a number of Bibles in their home, and the reason they have them is for study purposes. Now, I don't know what kind of study they're doing, except if they're comparing them. And the last I heard, the reason people have so many different Bibles is because they're seeking one out of that 400 plus that would agree more with their lifestyle than to have you agree more with God. It's that simple, isn't it? Well, I think so. And I say to them, steady. Steady what? Steady what? Which one seems to make more sense? Which one is easier to understand? Or is it because you want to be sure you cover all the bases? Just in case. Oh, come on. Once you give your life to Christ and you're a born-again Christian, you've covered all the necessary bases. You have to, because once the Holy Spirit indwells you as a Christian, then, no, that's it. That's the be-all. What's the other phrase? I don't know, but anyway, that's where it's at. Once you're born again, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, comes and indwells you, and that Spirit doesn't leave you. No way, no way, because you've committed your life to Christ, and the Spirit is living in you to help you find the direction you need, to give you wisdom when you're reading God's Word, so forth and so on. Now, if you look over in John 14, I'm going to just read a couple of verses here. This is a promise that God is making to us through the King James Bible. Now, Jesus is speaking. He says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you, or I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also." It goes on and on. But basically, that's what it is. That's just what it's all about. Now, if you're a born-again Christian, well, you just sit back and enjoy the message. But you don't have to worry about your salvation. You don't have to wonder if heaven is a real place. Or, you know, you don't have to worry if you got the right Bible. If you got the King James, especially. Now, He will reconcile, I'm talking about Christ, He will reconcile, He will redeem, He will restore, He will return, regenerate, and resurrect. But one thing He will not do, He will not have a rewrite to His Word, because, and this is the bottom line, folks, because His Word is perfect. His Word is perfect. God plans to save only our souls, but we're going to get new bodies as well. You know, and we're going to live in a different world, the New Jerusalem. Our universe will be the stars, the sun, the moon, the galaxies. You know, He could have made a new creation, but He chose to renew His old creation. Yes, He did. See, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. We can't overlook that. Now, I believe the whole of creation will be redeemed. Now, I'm not saying they will be saved. I mean, they will have the opportunity to give themselves over to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they will repent and believe. That's what I believe. Now, except for the animals. Now, I've always wondered about that. You know, when I think about Noah, every time I think about animals, I think, you know, like Noah, God put all those animals on the ark. You know, so the question comes up, and I don't know the full answer to it, so, you know, if you know, you let me know, okay? Do you think there'll be animals in heaven? Now, somebody once said, well, no, animals don't have a soul, so they're not indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Okay, but why would God save all those animals and then let them perish and be gone out of your life and your afterlife forever? Well, we just have to wait and see in that, don't we? We can't be too emphatic about that, right? Okay, so Let's keep a good thought, I say. Let's keep a good thought about that. when the trumpet of the Lord will sound. Ooh, I can hardly wait to hear that trumpet, you know. Ooh, when the Lord comes in the rapture. Oh, now he doesn't come on the earth. He comes in the clouds, and he stays up there in the clouds. And we're going to hear the voice of the archangel say, "Come up hither! Come up hither!" You know what that means? That every saved soul upon the earth at that time, when the rapture occurs, will be taken up. And they'll be given new bodies. Now, if the ones that died are still in the grave, well, their bodies will be in the grave, but if they are saved, they'll be in heaven, but their new bodies will come out of the grave. They'll be changed. Get that now? They will be changed like unto Christ's glorious body. And so ever will we be with the Lord. Oh, yeah. Imagine that, what this earth would be like today if sin had not entered in. Thy kingdom come. Oh, there'll be a new earth, but we won't be living on it. We who are saved and caught up in the rapture, no. We'll be living in the new Jerusalem. Now, I know that the Bible doesn't say much about, you know, about this and about that and what you want to know about. But, you know, if you study God's Word, everything will come through to you because the Holy Spirit, which indwells you, will give you a thought pattern that will be in line with God's Word. And, you know, just study the Word, you know, in season, out of season, you know, study it. And everything will come to light. I know when I first became a Christian, I thought that way too, you know. I can't understand all this stuff. How ever am I going to absorb it? But then God laid on my heart, just study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, yes, how wonderful God is. God saved all those animals in Noah's Ark. Surely he didn't save them to destroy them. You think? Well, like I said, I don't rightly know. Won't there be something now if you get to heaven and they're running down the golden street, you meet with a dog wagging his tail, Old Yeller or a Rover? Now, why did God make animals? Isn't everything God made precious in his sight? Is heaven a really physical place? God says we will have new bodies, as I already explained. So, I don't know, I hesitate to use the term physical, because we have bodies like Christ, which will be both physical and spiritual. You know, when Jesus was on the earth, he could walk through walls, doors, you know, things like that. And that's the kind of body we're going to have when we're in heaven. But although we'll be physical in a sense, we'll be mostly spiritual. A number of years ago, when the Lord was using me to give his witness, to give myself as a witness to the elderly and sick at a place called Valley View Villa down home in Nova Scotia. Ah, Miss Old Nova Scotia, yeah. One of the chapters I always liked to read to them, and they liked to hear it too, was Revelation 21. Revelation, oh, what a chapter. You know, you read it for yourself and you'll see what I mean. It's filled with oodles of information. Oh, just brimming with ideas that you're just going to love. I can only imagine how John must have felt when God gave him a foretaste of that great home that we'll all share one day, and how beautiful it is. Hey, if you think Mr. T had jewelry, wait till you see the gems of heaven, the pearly gates, the streets of gold. Oh, like we could turn to Revelation right now, but in the interest of time, I'd rather you take a look at it yourself. Read Revelation 21. You know, especially verse 18. Sounds too good to be true, but it is. Or God wouldn't have said it. And God doesn't lie. No, he doesn't. No way. Now, many, especially mystics of the Muslim and Hindu sects, well, they consider heaven as a simply spiritual place. Well, this is not scriptural. In a sense it is, but it's also a physical place. Because don't forget, when Jesus arose from the dead, he arose in his own body. which was both spiritual and physical. Okay? Heaven is a real, let's put it this way, heaven is a real spiritual, physical place. Okay? Now, there are actually, three heavens. There are actually the atmospheric heaven, the stellar heaven, and the third heaven where God resides. Where God resides. Now, we know by Scripture that Jesus is now living in a physical, resurrected body. Yes, He is. He is body. He is spirit. And He can pass through a wall or a door as shown in John 20, verse 19. John 20, verse 19. He can pass through a wall or a door. And you can also read verses 26 and 27 for learning more about who Jesus really is and what He's capable of doing. Now, Jesus is both, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus is both physical and spiritual. And so shall we, rather, be when we get our new bodies. Oh, yeah. Oh, won't that be something, eh? We get a body like His. Oh, yeah. Well, that other crew down below that were left behind just because they wouldn't repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have denied Christ. Oh, they'll have bodies too. Bodies that will feel continual pain and suffering. Oh, I'm so glad I don't have to think about that anymore. They will never know joy or peace or happiness of any kind. Only continual torment and agony. For all eternity. All eternity. The skeptic says that the scriptures about heaven, well, they're only analogies. And they don't really fit with what heaven is really like. That's what the skeptics say. Well, the skeptic is in for a surprise. I beg to differ. My Lord said He would go and prepare a place for me. Now, why would He make such a statement if it weren't really true? If my God, my Savior, goes and prepares a place for me, I know it ain't going to be like the place I have here on earth right now. Oh, no. I know it's going to be really special. And I know it's going to be a place where forever we'll be together. And I know that we'll be worshiping Him all for all eternity, and we'll be walking those streets of gold and going through those pearly gates and just having a good time and sweet fellowship with Jesus. I just know that's how it's going to be. You know, in Revelation 21, heaven is described as having a holy city. That's what it's called, a holy city, a place as a bride adorned for her husband. Oh, yeah. Isn't that lovely? My friends, this is a literal place, the New Jerusalem. It's a literal. It's not a figment of our imaginations. It's not something we can dream about or give a lot of thought to, because we really can't appreciate it until we're there. All we know is we're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ in the New Jerusalem. That's all we need to know. I'm just so happy about that. Oh, look, I could just jump for joy. But I'm getting up in age now, and I'm afraid if I try jumping too much, I might crack open a rib or something. You know what I mean. God has a redemptive plan for man. Not just to redeem us. Now, when I say man, I mean mankind, which encompasses the female gender as well. So, anytime I say mankind, you know, the Bible uses mankind mostly. And, it applies to both man and woman. But, really, the whole of creation, that's what His plan consists of. Now, the whole man fell. And the whole man must be redeemed. Have you got that? The whole man fell, and the whole man must be redeemed. All that God made in the beginning was very good. We know that. And His new plan is to do it all again for us, to open those gates and to say, come on in, welcome to your new home, the new Jerusalem. Oh, yes. God plans to bring all things together in heaven and on earth under one headship, Christ Jesus. One headship, Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it? You know, Jesus died not only to make the best of a bad situation for us. He died so that man and the universe and the earth would be renewed forever to proclaim His glory. And His glory is, oh, it's just without end. Just without end. It is. You know, my heart goes out to those who have not and will not believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, some people have asked me, you know, what is the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, basically, it is believing in that Jesus went to the cross of Calvary. Now, to put it simply, as it is in the Bible, and most everybody can memorize these words, you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Believe and you will receive. Believe in Jesus. He's the one who went to that cross. He's the one who was nailed to that cross. He's the one who bled, shed His precious blood for the sin of the whole world upon that cross. He's the one who went to the grave for 3 days and three nights. He's the one who rose again on the third day. He's the one who is going to come again in the clouds of glory and invite us who believe in Him to come and join Him in glory forever and ever and ever. Do you believe that? You know, I can only think that maybe you do, because why would you be listening to this message if you didn't really believe in the gospel of Christ? Huh? Oh, I pray that you'll think about this, dwell on this. And whenever you feel down, you know, like we all do, being a Christian, you know, is not putting you, making you, guaranteeing that you're going to be in a good frame of mind every day and nothing's going to happen to you, you know, and everything's going to work out fine. No, not at all. I mean, we go through the same life that we would if we weren't saved, except our sin. Now, this is important. And I'm going to close shortly with this. Our sin, now remember this, the sin of those who believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and have applied it to their lives, the sin is, the answer, or the crux of the whole thing is, that we don't have to worry about sin anymore. Because when we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then, you know, even though we get weak sometime, and the sin does very easily beset us from time to time, we don't have to worry about it, because we're in these bodies, these sin-cursed bodies. And while we're in them, we're going to sin. But you see, we can pray to God, and God will hear us. Because when we are saved and under the blood, you see, when we pray to God, He doesn't see our sin anymore, because it's covered in the blood. You know, so therefore He can look upon us, He can listen to us, and He can hear us, everything we say, and He can bless us. Oh, what a wonderful thought. You know, the day is soon coming when we'll stand face to face with the one who took our place on that cruel cross at Calvary. I pray that you'll be there in that number. I pray that one day we'll walk up to each other in glory and say, I know who you are. I heard you giving a message there one day down on earth. And it was a good message because you told me all about my salvation and my Savior. And I'm so glad you did, or I wouldn't be here today. Well, bless you. God bless you. And I pray that very soon our Savior will return. You know, He's right at the door. At least, that's what I believe. And I can hardly wait when the archangel calls, "Come up hither." Are you ready? I am. I hope we'll go up together. I pray we'll go up together. I thank you for listening. May God richly bless you and yours. In Jesus' wonderful name, wonderful, wonderful name, I pray and ask these mercies. Amen. Amen.